Hello and welcome to Climate Tracker Specials Asia. I'm Vienna Magbitang. If you have been following this series, you might have heard our host talk about me in some of her episodes. That's because I've been working behind the scenes producing Climate Tracker podcasts. I kind of have always been hiding and evading the spotlight. But I guess sometimes we have to come out of our shells to talk about things we're really passionate about. In this series, you will hear from journalists from the Philippines, where I'm also from. We will talk about how we are doing climate journalism in this part of the world. In our very first episode, I introduce you to two seasoned journalists, Joe Torres and Mark Saludis of Lycus News. They are writing about a very interesting topic, the Catholic Church. Why I say it's interesting? Well, the Philippines is a predominantly Catholic country. We talk about the importance of religion in the climate conversation and what is the role of the church in our fight against climate change. I hope you enjoy this conversation as much as I did. I honestly had to cut it short because if I did not, we will just go on and on. That's how much I enjoyed talking to them. Take a listen. Let's start with Mark. Can you tell us something about yourself? What have you been doing for the past few years as a journalist?
I'm a freelance journalist, but a regular contributor for the Catholic news agency, Lycus.News. It's a Bangkok-based news agency. But before that, we were working with the Union of Catholic Asia News. It was in 2019, October 2019, umalis kami doon. And I started ever since kasi I'm with Sergio na rin. So wala akong memory na hindi siya yung editor ko. But in this past 3 years or so, mas nag-focus ako sa especially this year, sa climate communication, sa lente pa rin ng church. So, siguro dahil yun yung niche at nakasanayan ko na reporting. And mas komportable at iilan lang din talaga yung nagko-cover ng faith and religiosity sa Pilipinas. Ngayon, so kahit sinusundan ko or mas pinapalalim yung reporting on climate communication or yung climate communication, still nasa lens siya ng church. I started as a documentary photographer pero nagkaroon ng pangangailangan na mas mag-focus dun sa iba't ibang skill set and writing and then sa video. And yeah, that's it.
Kayo po, Sir Joe.
I have been a journalist for the past 30 years. I started with an alternative news agency in the late 80s, early 90s. I went to an international newspaper in the Middle East as a sub-editor. I came back as a newspaper reporter, investigative reporter in the Philippines. Set up ABS-CBNnews.com and GMAnews.tv. Went into radio and online platforms, news agencies for the past more or less 10 years with the Catholic church-based news agency Lycus, wherein we focus our Lycus and the Union of Catholic Asian News before. We focus our coverage on issues that are of interest to the church. And that includes the environment, human rights, social issues, and everything under the sun, from family life to everything. So basically, that's my experience, but I'm more interested in human rights issues and, of course, the environment. That's because it's always involved in issues that are very basic in communities where human rights is very, you know, the issue of human rights is very broad, no? And always the issue of the earth, the environment is linked with those very basic community issues. So basically, that's what I've been doing for the past 30 years.
The Philippines is a predominantly Catholic country. We really see the influence of the church in like policies and everything that's happening in the country. But we normally don't really see media talking about the role of the Catholic Church in the climate conversation. So why do you think it's important to actually tackle it?
Actually, the Catholic Church as a whole, the global Catholic is universal. The universal church has been very active in talking about and in its concern with our common home, the earth, the environment. And it is very significant that it's actually the Catholic Church in the Philippines that started the whole conversation about the environment in the church during the Pope's visit to the Philippines in 2015. Actually, he cited the encyclical, the pastoral letter, Bishop's Conference, titled, Mark, what's the title?
What's Happening to Our Beautiful Country. Beautiful that was land. Released, yeah, Beautiful Land. That was released in 1988, if I'm not mistaken.
So actually, it's the church, the Catholic Church in the Philippines started the whole conversation, if not the whole conversation, but actually pressed for the issue of caring for our common home. When the Catholic Church leaders ask what's happening to our beautiful land. And fortunately, a lot of Filipino Catholics are more into praying, are more into maybe into reflections, but I believe there's less action. We have been talking about the church in the Philippines, have been talking about our caring for our common home for the past 30 years also, more or less. But you can see how this, what you said, what you described as predominantly Catholic country has been abusing the environment. Those behind the attacks of the environment are very, very Catholic. They profess to be very religious. They attend Sunday masses. They go to confession. They receive communion. But when they go back home, when they go to work, they plan how to destroy the environment. You can see mining executives actually donating even churches. And they don't find contradictions in what they've been doing. That's why Mark and I are very interested into looking at what the church has been doing, especially in the wake of Pope Francis' encyclical Laudato Si. Because again, the Catholic Church reaffirmed its commitment to caring for our common home, but after how many years already? 5 years of Laudato Si, there seems to be no real action on the ground in implementing the programs that were, you know, that were suggested by the encyclical. The Pope was talking about the culture of what's that called? That waste, no? When the throwaway culture 5 years ago, but until now, people seem not to understand, not only ordinary people, but even church leaders, priests, bishops, and church leaders. They read the encyclical. So, for instance, the call for renewable energy has been there for a long time. But how many of our churches, of our church institutions have responded to that call? No? Of course, there were several churches, several organizations, they did some laudable, you know, actions like the church in Baclaran, I think, some congregations, religious congregations now using solar energy and all those things. But the whole church, you know, it's not even 1% of the whole institutional church responding to that call of Pope Francis, of the the call of the church, actually, the call of the environment to take care, for us to take care of our world, of our common home. Mark, maybe you can add.
Yeah, when it comes to the role of the church, particularly here in the Philippines, the role of the church in communicating the climate campaign, the climate crisis is very huge. Sabi nyo nga kanina, di ba, we are predominantly Catholic. The problem is the messaging or on how to communicate the program of the church and its role in this worldwide campaign. Hindi lang kasi sa Pilipinas. Actually, the church has launched its they call it the national in the Philippines they call it the national advocacy program. It's basically an environmental program that calls for concrete ecological actions, no? And the main problem that was I think that was in July that we Sergio and I were in that meeting, the Catholic Bishops Conference of the Philippines assess yung paano natin pinopropagate and kinocommunicate yung environmental program and yung protection ng environment. At nakita natin doon, nakita ng CBCP, ng hierarchy ng simbahan sa Pilipinas na malaki yung pagkukulang. And not only the secular media, not only the dominant media, but even the church-based media, yung platform na meron na yung simbahan. And so tingin namin hindi lang yung simbahan the institution ang may malaking parte doon sa pagpapalaganap or in propagating the climate crisis or yung campaign, pero lalo na yung Christian or yung Catholic communities, malaki yung bahagi niya on how to really bring the message dun sa mga hindi, well, ang hirap explain kasi ang dami nating we are different kinds of Catholics, di ba? Merong Catholic na nagsisimba lang, merong Catholic or Christian na may nalalaman dun sa kung paano nagwo-work yung institution, at meron din naman yung mga traditional, yung ang tingin sa simbahan ay purely salvation, di ba, yung personal salvation. And doon pumapasok yung social communication ng simbahan. At well, to gusto ko lang i-clarify, kaya natatawa ako kasi kanina pa natin we are talking like priests here, but hindi po kami mga pare, mga journalist po kami. Kaya lang, yung tanong mo nga kanina, paano yung role, di ba, ng simbahan?
Yes.
Sa akin kasi hindi yung simbahan lang talaga per se, ha, yung institusyon, pero yung community, yung Christian community, yung Catholic community, which includes us, kami, na mga journalists sa isang faith-based or church-based na media agency. Parang ganun.
You said there's a problem in messaging, and having said that, what do you think is the role of journalists like us in your organization in propagating the message and helping the church actually take on their role in the climate conversation?
Siguro bago kay Sergio, may magandang sasabihin siya dyan, pero mauna na ako. Yung pagsimbahan kasi yung kausap mo, pagpari yung kausap mo, and they will explain to you what is Laudato Si or the protection, yung encyclical, calling for the protection of our common home or the environment. Yung language and yung messaging, napaka-churchy. You know what I mean? Parang nakikinig ka sa pare. Masyadong, hindi naman lutang siguro, but masyadong academic or masyadong theological minsan yung approach. And yung role ng mga journalists is to translate. Di ba ang hirap na ng climate communication? It is very scientific. tapos dadagdagan mo pa ng lente ng simbahan, which is
another layer.
Another layer, may dimension ng faith. Mm-hmm. So baka hindi na maintindihan talaga ng basic masses. So the role of the journalist is to translate the message dun sa language ng basic masses. Na kaya nga doble yung trabaho mo eh. Kung ikaw ay isang journalist na nagko-cover ng climate at the same time ng faith and religiosity. So you translate science and religion para maintindihan ng audience, ng readers or ng end users.
Maganda kasi yung usapin. That's a very good question about what's the role. First, what's the role of the church in sa climate, sa pag-deliver ng message na nanganganib ang ating kapaligiran, ang ating mundo. At isang magandang tanong din yung ano yung role ng church media? Ano yung role ng mga journalists? Actually, napakagandang tanong kasi isa sa pinakamaingay na sektor sa buong mundo when it comes to talking about the environment and about climate change, climate crisis, ay ang simbahan. Nagkukompetensya lang yung simbahan at mga pro-environment activists when it comes to tackling those issues. At pareho sila may kahinaan, at pareho sila may pagkukulang. Yung mga environmental activists, they're more into the science of it. The church leaders are more into the morality of it, into the what is right and wrong about our struggle for the protection of the environment. So saan lulugar ang journalist? Tama yung sinabi ni Mark na dapat tayo mag-translate into the language of the people. Pero at the same time, baka rin hindi narinig pareho ng mga aktivista, ng mga activists at ng simbahan kung ano talaga yung nangyari din on the ground. Kasi minsan, lalo na yung ating mga church leaders, marami din sa kanila ang hindi rin talaga lubog doon sa masa at hindi nila nakikita kung ano ang epekto ng climate crisis doon sa buhay ng mga tao. Parang rally lang yan. Andun yung mga seminarista kasama yung mga manggagawa. Nagra-rally sila, nagmamarcha sa lansangan. Pagkatapos ng marcha, umuwi ang mga manggagawa sa kanilang mga bahay. Pinoproblema nila kung ano ang kanilang hapunan. Ang mga pari, umuwi sa kumbento, nag-shower, naka-aircon yung room, tapos nagbi-beer bago mag-dinner. So parang napakalaki ng ano eh. Habang yung supposed to be pinaglalaban natin at diba, sinasamahan sa kanilang struggle, ay naghihirap pa rin patuloy habang tayo ay nagsasalita lamang, parang may disconnect.
May social divide pa rin.
Yes, even in the church. Kaya napakaganda yung tanong mo ngayon kasi this year until 2023, may nilaunch na may pakanana naman ang Santo Papa, yung tinatawag niyang synodal process, yung synod on synodality. Ibig lamang sabihin nito, makikipag-usap, makikinig ang mga taong simbahan, ang institutional church, makikinig doon sa masa, sa ground. May magandang storya si Mark doon na pinublish ng Laicas, one of those of our stories, yung sa bayan ng doon sa Northern Philippines, anong bayan yun, Mark? Kung saan,
sa Apari.
Sa Apari, bahagi kasi nung tinatawag nilang synod on synodality, yung pakikipag-usap sa mga tao. Sa ibang mga simbahan, ang kinakausap nila yung katikista, yung nagbibigay ng komunyon, etc., yung choir, yung mga manang. Pero dito sa isang simbahan na to sa Apari, ang kinausap niya ay mga mangingisda. At yung mga mangingisda na yon, noong kausap nila yung mga pari, mga leader ng simbahan, sinabi nila na napakalaki ng problema namin at related to sa environment kasi sinisira ang kalikasan at kinukuha ng mga Chinese yung nagdi-dredging ng black sand. And because of that dredging, naapektuhan yung kanilang hanap buhay, yung kanilang community. And because of that impact on the communities, nahihirapan sila sa kanilang economic situation. Siyempre, mas nagiging focus sila sa paghanap ng ikakabuhay, naapektuhan yung kanilang faith. Kasi paano ka pa magdasal? Paano ka pa, may time ka pa ba magsimba kung wala ka nang makain, di ba? So napakaganda sanang role ng especially those yung media na nakafocus doon sa pagko-cover ng simbahan at impact ng climate crisis. Kung titingnan itong crisis na to ng climate, ng environment, na isang napaka isang holistic na pagtingin. Hindi yung tingi-tingi, hindi dahil simbahan moralidad, hindi dahil scientists ay science, kundi dapat tingnan na buo. Kaya yung proposal nga namin that we look into how the church responds to responded to the situation, not only through words but in the communities, and how the church, the institutional church, also acted on the issues that they have been identifying for a long time already. For instance, a lot of church institutions, the institutional church, is actually financing mining. So ang panawagan, o di tanggalin nyo yung pera doon, pera ng simbahan doon sa, di ba, sa investment nyo sa mining. Or because Pope Francis, when he became Pope, actually did that, no? He invested in doon sa Europe kasi, di ba, para kasi ang Vatican ay ang daming ano, di ba, kuryente, wala naman silang puno doon, so they're actually dami nilang ilaw, so marami silang energy na nagagamit, di ba? So bahagi din sila sa may kasalanan kung bakit nasisira ang kalikasan, kasi gumagamit sila ng napaka raming energy. So ang ginawa ni Pope Francis, nag-invest sila doon sa ano, forest. Nalimutan ko kung saan. Napakalaking forest, so they invested in preserving that forest. So yun yung kanilang bayad doon sa kanilang carbon footprints, kanilang makasalanan sa paggamit ng maraming ilaw doon sa simbahan. So those issues, napakaganda tingnan eh. Actually, even anecdotal, mga anecdotes, mga stories on the ground, marami po. Kaya, then you said earlier na dahil mga marami tayong Katoliko, baka mas maka-identify yung ating audience, yung mga Pilipino, when we start talking about their experiences, their faith experiences related to the environment. Diba? Parang ganun.
Gusto ko susugan, baka malimutan ko. Kaya yung sinasabi kanina ni Sergio, dalawa yung role talaga nung journalist ay nasa gitna eh. That's ang trabaho natin ay ipaintindi dun sa basic masses, sa community, yung message ng simbahan, ng mga environmental activists. At the same time, we bring the stories, yung narrative ng community doon sa mga environmentalists, doon sa simbahan, hindi lang doon sa people in power, hindi lang sa state, kundi pati na rin doon sa mga organizations, institutions na nagsusulong ng environmental protection. Kasi yun nga, madalas dahil lalo na yung mga organization na national in nature, I am part of a faith-based organization, yung Living Laudato Philippines, na national yung kanyang coverage, pero wala siya sa ground talaga. Hindi siya nag community organizing to push a particular campaign. So yung journalist, kapag kino-cover niya yung mga specific stories sa ground, sa community, dinadala niya yung information doon sa table kung saan yung mga think tank ay nag-iisip ng strategy on how to advance yung ganitong klase ng campaign, na ang makikinabang later on yung paring vulnerable communities kung saan galing yung totoo at yung mga pangunahing narrative na nagpapakita ng impact ng climate crisis. So yung role ng journalist talaga ay ano siya, nagsisilbi siya dun, both doon sa end ng basic masses syempre at doon din sa kabilang end.
But as you said earlier, there's actually a disconnect and divide. What are the other challenges you face as a journalist to actually kind of connect and bridge the gap?
Mahirap yung tanong mo. Kasi when we say there's a divide, ako personally ang masasabi ko diyan is within the church, no, within any church, hindi lang naman Catholic Church yung kino-cover namin eh. We cover the Protestants, we even cover yung sa Islamic. So kaya lang syempre mas malaki nga yung Catholic sa Pilipinas, so mas malaki yung attention na ibibigay natin. But there's a divide eh, within those institutions, those organizations, kasi hindi lahat ng, halimbawa yung environmental concern ng simbahan, hindi naman lahat ng pari alam yan eh, or hindi lahat ng pari focus yan. So sa isang diocese, for example, in the Archdiocese of Manila, say 20% lang ng pari ang merong kamulatan tungkol sa environmental protection, and the rest, iba na yung focus nila. Ang focus na nila is magdasal or negosyo, or sa ibang ministry or apostolate. So yung kung ang pinag-uusapan kasi natin ay yung ecological conversion. Yun yung nagsasummarize ng ecological campaign, yung environmental campaign ng simbahan, is the ecological conversion. Ngayon, kung nakikita mo na yung mga pinuno ng simbahan ay hindi pa nakakarating sa ganung klase ng conversion, nahihirapan kang i-connect yung nakikita mong narrative sa ground at yung nakikita mong reality doon sa iba't ibang simbahan. Hindi ko alam kung, I don't know if I'm making sense here, but yun nga eh. So ang ini-educate natin, hindi lang yung basic masses o yung communities. Ini-educate din natin yung religious institutions, yung hierarchy ng Catholic Church or ng Protestant Church about what is ecological conversion and what is concrete ecological action. Kasi it includes yung lifestyle, yung binabanggit namin kanina na how we, yung throwaway culture, paano namin i-explain yun kahit sa mga pare? Eh marami sa mga pare, mas mayayaman pa sa atin, parang ganun. Or mas, hindi naman mayaman na merong maraming pera. But yung lifestyle, if you can see them, kung nawi-witness mo sila sa pang-araw-araw nilang buhay, makikita mo na mataas yung lifestyle nila at disconnected yun dun sa lifestyle nung communities na pinaglilingkuran nila. And ganun katindi or ganun ka-specific yung panawagan ni Pope Francis for ecological conversion kahit yung lifestyle mo, 'di ba? Parang pagiging vegan, if you're calling for people to eat plant-based food tapos hindi mo siya pinapractice, wala kang karapatang magsalita, 'di ba, na manawagan for veganism or whatever. Ganun din eh sa ecological campaign. Kung hindi mo siya kung ikaw mismo hindi mo napapractice yun, disconnected ka dun sa campaign and disconnected ka dun sa community. And we witness that as journalists covering the church, kasi we are not simply talking to these people, to the community and to the church leaders. Nakikipamuhay din kami. Kung lumulubog kami sa communities, lumulubog din kami dun sa mga taong simbahan, sa mga leader ng simbahan. So, mas madalas, syempre, kung nakikitulog ka sa community, nakikitulog ka rin dun sa mga pare, sa mga madre. Well, hindi kami sumasama sa mga madre kasi hindi naman kami pwedeng makitulog sa kanila. Pero, nawi-witness namin kung ano yung buhay. And, dun, isa yun, struggle pa rin namin yun kung paano namin i-translate since ang maganda naman, hindi kami ano ng simbahan, mouthpiece ng simbahan, we can publish stories na kahit critical sa mga church leaders, sa mga simbahan, and we even publish stories about church leaders na may matinding ecological sin, di ba? So parang ganun, malaki yung struggle, syempre.
Sir Joe, how does this affect the kind of stories you produce in Laicas?
First of all, tama yung sinabi ni Mark. There is really recognition naman, even among the institutional church na may divide, na may problem sila, na may problem sila sa communicating the teachings of the church and even understanding the church teachings. May iba-ibang interpretation. So, how does it affect our coverage? First of all, depende yan sa pagtingin mo. Ako kasi, unang-una, I consider myself a Christian, a Catholic, a faithful servant, follower of Jesus. Yan. Pangalawa, ano ako, citizen ng Pilipinas. At pangatlo, journalist ako. I always, especially pagdating sa mga issues na medyo critical, mga issues na mahirap, tinatanong ko yung sarili, bilang Katoliko, ano yung tama, ano yung mali? For example, if mining is, kung hindi naniwala yung church, o yung leaders ng simbahan, mga obispo, mga pari, na ang mining ay masama, mali sila doon. Kasi sa tingin ko at sa pagtingin ko bilang Kristiyano, mali yung pagsira ng kalikasan. So I will pursue a story that sa tingin ko kasi walang hindi nag-a-apply ang tinatawag nilang objectivity when it comes to basic issues like human rights and defense of the environment. Wala akong pake sa objectivity, pero magiging fair ako. Halimbawa, babanatan ko yung ginagawa ng mining companies, pero I will interview them and ask them, bakit nila ginagawa? And maybe I will be able to convert them and they will realize na mali yung ginagawa nila. So yon, walang negosasyon pagdating doon sa ano. Pangalawa, bilang Filipino citizen, titingnan ko ano yung nakakabuti sa akin bansa. Pangatlo, bilang journalist, magiging fair ako doon sa aking coverage. So what if, so for example, Laicas. Ang Laicas ay, sabi nga ni Mark, kung obispo ka, nagkamali ka, sorry na lang, ilalabas namin yan. Kung hindi sumunod ang institutional church, kung anong basic teachings ng simbahan, tulad ng sabi ng Santo Papa, mag-diversify kayo, divert kayo ng mga investments nyo sa nakakasirang mga industries, at halimbawa ang isang diocese o ang mga pari at obispo ay hindi sumunod kasi maganda yung ikita, pasensya sila, exposed namin sila. Pareho din lang yan kung merong sex abuse scandal, may sex abuse yung isang pari, hindi natin dapat itago, dapat ilabas yan kahit pari man siya, kahit obispo man siya. So even it is our duty, our responsibility as Catholics, as Christians, to follow the teachings of the Lord and at the same time to expose what is wrong. Actually, si Jesus yung pinakamagaling na journalist eh. Lahat na lang ni-report niya, di ba? Wala siyang kinikilingan, wala siyang pinoprotektahan. Lahat binabanatan, pati kanyang mga followers. Diba? Imagine your best disciple, si Pedro, sasabihin ba naman niyang Satanas? Diba? So that's the best example ng isang napakagaling na journalist, because ang role ng journalist is to inform the public yung mga facts so that they can decide on, they can come up with informed decisions. So wala namang contradiction doon. So maganda yung role ng journalist na Katoliko o Kristiyano sa pag-bridge ng disconnect na sinasabi natin kanina. Like for instance, one example, hindi naman dapat mahirap, hindi naman talaga palaliman ng istorya. Ang gusto nga natin, mas marami ang makabasa, mas marami tayong ma-reach out. Isang halimbawa, yung pari na nag-breed ng rabbits. Wala, simple lang story. Si Father Ponpon, isang oblate na pari, nag-breed siya ng rabbit, tapos dinistribute niya sa mga mahihirap para meron sila makain to address hunger. But at the same time, yung rabbit kasi, yung dumi ng rabbit ay mas maganda na fertilizer kasi yung protein, may mga scientific ek siya. So nakakatulong din sa environment. All those things, and it's interconnected. So I just wrote about the priest and the rabbit and how and why. Sa dami naming istorya na sinulat, na mga malalim about environment, Actually, yung rabbit story, yung nag-international, pati sa America, patok na patok kasi, oo nga naman, di ba? May pari, nag-breed ng rabbit para ipakain sa mga mahihirap. Tapos, starting with just that simple story, lumalalim yung kwento, di ba? Nakakapag-reach out ka sa mga tao. Kaysa magbigla ka magsalita about fertilizer, about hunger, yung statistics, ilan yung nagugutom and all those things. Medyo walang interested doon.
So tell us about the story you're writing right now.
Pag tinanong mo kasi kami mo anong story yung ginagawa na, well, ako ngayon kasi ang focus ko is yun nga yung sa climate communication. But ito pa rin, kung paano nagre-respond yung simbahan. No? Ang napag-usapan namin ni Sir Joe na story for this fellowship is yung ano yung response ng simbahan dun sa panawagan na environmental campaign dito sa Metro Manila and dun sa context na nasa urban area tayo. Well, yun nga, sinabi niya na kanina that priest Father Ponpon is a parish priest dyan sa Diocese of Caloocan, and actually we already wrote and published a series of stories about the church, not only about the priest but kung ano yung simbahan niya mismo, and that's the first parish kasi na naging hub ng urban gardening, urban farming dito sa Metro Manila, which is started last year during the height of the pandemic. And dun, yun yung tinitingnan namin eh, na maging focus ng story na for this fellowship, yung mga ganung responses ng simbahan. And because we are talking about energy, a lot of parishes of churches, in especially yung mga sa mga Catholic congregation dito sa Metro Manila na nagtumugon dun sa panawagan na gumamit ng mas maraming renewables when it comes to energy sources, and we are gearing towards those narrative. We will be focusing dun sa response, dalawa, yung response at yung hindi pag-respond ng mga church institutions o mga religious organizations dun sa panawagan natin na hindi lang divest from coal, hindi lang literal na i-divest yung pera ng simbahan sa mga dirty energy sources, pero to walk the talk. Ibig sabihin, yung institution ba gumagamit na rin ng renewables, parang ganon, and laganap naman yung project ng CBCP, lalo na ng Caritas Philippines, yung National Secretariat for Social Action, dun sa paghihikayat sa maraming churches, sa maraming organizations, congregations mag-install ng mga renewable energy sources. For this fellowship, yun yung inaasikaso namin ngayon ni Sir Joe.
Doon sa project for this fellowship, we will be gathering anecdotal stories na malapit lang dito sa Manila. So, for example, we will cite those stories, sabi nga ni Mark, yung mga bubong ng simbahan na ginawa na nilang solar. Marami silang mga inisyatiba na ganun. Pero we will not stop there kasi ano ngayon kung nagbubong ka na solar, baka naman nagsusunog ka ng whatever, di ba? So ako si Mark kasi yung will be working on the ground and I will be looking behind him and assessing him at mga asar sa kanya. Yung parang so what? Napaka dahil lang sinabi ng mga aktivista na mag-solar. Mag-solar ka agad tayo? Tama ba? For example, the same thing with ano yung pinapatay yung ilaw ng isang oras.
Eight hour, yes.
Tuwa na yung mga pari at mga estudyante sa Catholic schools kasi sumali sila ng 1 hour. Isinira lang nila yung nagkakasira lang sila sa whatever, sa bahay or what, yung ganun, di ba? So we want to go deeper. How deeper na hindi theoretical, deeper na baka may mga hindi alam pa ang mga tao na ginagawa ng mga pari or hindi nila ginagawa or ng mga madre or ng mga simbahan or ng mga Katoliko, mga lay people na yun pala ay example na magandang halimbawa doon sa energy when it comes to energy. For example, we talk about coal, we talk about marami sila kasi napaka-diverse na sabi ni Mark kung gaano karami yung Katoliko, ganun din karami yung kanilang mga inisiyatiba or non-initiatives. Pero we will choose some anecdotal stories, pero at the same time look into it kung talaga bang ako as an editor gusto kong tingnan na talaga bang naiintindihan ninyo yung mga pinagsasabi nyo. Diba? Kasi baka sige, sali sila doon sa usapin ng energy, sali sila sa usapin ng environment, pero wala naman pala, di ba? Kaya it has been there, di ba? Yung usapin ng floods, yung pagbaha dahil pagsira sa kalikasan, illegal logging, yun yung mga binabanggit doon sa 1988 na pastoral letter. Pero hanggang ngayon, yun pa rin yung pinoproblema nila at pinipreach nila. Naging obispo na lang yung mga estudyante during that time. Di ba? Wala pa rin silang ginawa. So, anong ginagawa nila? Hanggang gano'n na lang ba yung work ng church? Hindi ba sila magtataya tulad kay Kristo at kay Pedro at kay Juan? Pero ngayon, pero baka may mga energy related, 'di ba, yung mga unique na anecdotal stories. So what are the poor doing in our urban poor communities na lagi nating bine-blame dahil sa pagkasira ng kalikasan, pero baka hindi naman pala sila yung dahilan, 'di ba? Yung pag-change, yung tinatawag ni Mark kanina na yung ecological conversion, hindi natin maintindihan 'yon. So dapat i-put into examples, 'di ba, into action. Baka si Mama Mary, ang ilaw doon sa nung nanganak si Jesus, pinanganak niya si Jesus, wala siyang ilaw, di ba? Hmm.
Ang isang naiisip ko nga, Paps, kasi we're talking about ecological conversion, lalo na yung mga church leaders. But na-realize kaya nila yan, at kasama tayo, na-realize kaya natin na baka yung ecological conversion ay sa atin yon. Because yung batayang masa, lalo na sa urban poor area, well, may mga dyan, may mga kuryente syempre. Maraming jumper dyan. Eh. Pero mas marami rin sa kanila yung gumagamit nga ng kandila. Eh. Dahil sila yung lesser yung carbon footprint. Dahil wala silang access dun sa utilities. Wala silang access sa kuryente. And na-realize kaya ng simbahan yon na yung usapin ng ecological conversion ay nandun, makikita mo dun sa basic na pamumuhay ng mga masa na part na pala ng matagal na nilang buhay yun. Yung parang, yun, tama ka, yun yung story na hinahanap namin. We are looking for stories na magbabago ng perspective. Yung perspektiba natin dun sa akala nating tama o minsan akala nating mali. Pero pag inugat natin yung narrative, lalo na yung mga problema, makikita natin na ito pala ay matagal ng existing at matagal ng ginagawa ng mas mahihirap na komunidad. Parang ganon. And yung irony dun sa mga pinagsasabi natin, I have a very recent interview na may isa kasing malaking diocese, archdiocese ng Northern Luzon na nagkaroon ng program to plant 500 trees for 500 days. So 500 trees daily yon times 500 days. Hindi ko pa nga tinitingnan ano yung nangyari doon sa mga puno. Ang tinitingnan ko pa, bakit hindi sila makapag-divest doon sa kanilang investment sa Philex Mining. Yung ganong irony, we are campaigning to plant trees, pero tuloy-tuloy tayong kumikita sa mining dahil nag-i-invest tayo at ini-enable natin yung mas matinding environmental destruction. So parang ganun, yun yung hinahanap naming tipo ng storya, lalo na sa usapin ng energy. Tapos yun nga, at dito sa setting na nasa urban area tayo.
This has just been a really insightful conversation, and I think marami pa po tayong mapag-uusapan kung hindi ko napipigilan at titingilan yung mga tanong ko. And as a Catholic myself, I'm very excited and interested in reading your story. And I'm very, very thankful for the both of you for joining me in this episode. Thank you po.
Thank you very much.
And that's it for this episode. I'm Bianna Magbitang for Climate Tracker Specials Asia. If you want to read more about how we are re-energizing climate stories in the Philippines, you can find them on our websites, climatetracker.org or climatetracker.asia. Special thanks to Oxfam Pilipinas for making this project possible. For comments, suggestions, and feedback, you can email us at podcast@climatetracker.org. Hope you can join us again next time.